Time to start. Here we go. Amen. Have y'all greeted each other? Have you felt like you've greeted each other? Have you had time to do that? Amen. It seems cold, but it's not cold. It's not cold. All right, amen. All right, we got some birthdays up in here. Y'all ready for the birthdays? All right, all right. Amen. We got Adrian Trevathan. And how old's Adrian going to be? He'll be 9. His birthday is manana. And then we got Brother Kenneth Irvine. Brother Kenneth on the 7th. That's Tuesday. All right, Brother Kenneth, how old are you going to be, man? <laughs> 85. All right. And then let's see here. Brian Tosh is having a birthday on the 9th. How old is Brian going to be? 30. Going to be the big 3-0. All right, amen. Very good. And my son Trevor's having a birthday on the 10th. Y'all know him, but I cannot. I think he's turning 20. I think it's 2021. I don't know. Yeah, I got his birth. I got his month and day down, but I can't. The years kind of run together. Amen. Any other birthdays? Any other birthdays? All right, let's sing "Happy Birthday" to him right quick, and then I got a few more announcements.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, outstanding. Go ahead.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, we've got a couple of more announcements here for you. We've got men's and ladies' Bible study. That's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock over in the Sunday School building. And then we have a graduate among us, Mason Folger. He's graduated from kindergarten. So, Mason, if you'll come down, we have an award for you. All right. Very good. Yeah, man. Congratulations on graduating kindergarten. I'm so proud of you, man. That's great. That's your award. Turn around. Let's see everybody. All right. Very good. Amen. All right. Outstanding. Thank you, sir. All right. You did it. You just got 12 more years to go. You made kindergarten. Now it's 1 through 12, but you're going to make it. I believe it. Amen, amen. All right. Any other birthdays? I get all the birthdays? Any other announcements? All right. Oh, yeah, Brother Ronnie. Thank you. Brother Ronnie wants to share about Sunday school. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, yeah, it was some awesome classes. You know, y'all all need to be there. So, if there's a person next to you that you don't see in Sunday school, turn to them and say, hey, man, I will see you in Sunday school next week. Okay? Let's get everybody back. I know the COVID put everybody out of Sunday school for a while. But, again, you know, Sunday school is a great thing. Like James said one time, man, it's good. So, we call it, it's a therapy class. Group therapy class.
Yeah,
we
amen.
Get to talk and everything else about what you learn. So again, be in Sunday school. We miss you all. So again, thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ron. Amen. Amen.
All right, sir.
All righty. Well, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out singing, Come Now's the Time to Worship.
Is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to as you are before your God. Come. 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 Amen.
covers me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come here today to worship you and to bless your great name. We pray for our pastor as he brings your word to hear, for us to hear today, Lord. We just come and give an offering to you, Lord, and to be good stewards of our tithes to you, Lord. And we just humble ourselves before you and thank you for all the great mercies you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God.
There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. Amen.
Children's church today? Children? Going to children's church? All right, you? One, two, three, maybe? All right. Very good. That graduate's going to go. Amen, amen. Outstanding. All right. Very good. All right. Thank you, Brother Ron. Miss Jackie, y'all have a good time over there. Amen. Way to go, buddy. Way to go. All right. For the rest of you. Okay. All right. He's excited. Take your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God, Matthew chapter 20, and we'll begin reading here in verse 1, kind of a lengthy passage, but we'll try to work our way through it here this morning. Matthew chapter 20, those of you with us online, good to have you with us. Visitors, good to have you with us this morning, amen. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, if you found that, would you say amen? All right, the Word of God reads this. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And so to those he said, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' And so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day long?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first.' When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day.' But he answered and said to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy and inerrant word. We pray that our hearts and minds be open to it. We praise you today for the air conditioning. We thank you, Lord, for a cool, dry place to meet in this Southeast Texas insta-sweat humidity. Thank you for that, Lord. We praise you for your goodness and your grace to us. Give us a mind to focus and give us a heart to hear today. And Lord, may we drink deep of the Word of God. And Lord, may you apply it to our hearts and our souls and to our lives. And may we be more like Christ because of our hearing of it today. And then, Father God, we pray we'd take the gospel and the word of God out of here when we get ready to leave here in just a little bit. We praise you and thank you for all that you do. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, when we think about this parable, we need to understand that there is a very important lesson for everyone to get. Each of you in here today, each genuine believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ in this church family before me here this morning, each of you has a part to play in the work of the kingdom. And when we think about what we do and how we do it and what God wants us to do, the Lord assures us, Jesus assures us that we can give ourselves fully over to that work. That word was Matthew 19:27-30. But as we think about this passage this morning, we must understand that our service to him is all a matter of grace. Now, let's say that together. Grace. One more time. Grace. Amen? If we do not keep that in mind, if we do not keep the grace of Jesus, the grace of God, if we do not keep grace in mind, we will not have the right attitude about our work or about others whom he calls into his labors. Now, as often happens, we forget. We forget the great grace proposition. And if we forget the great grace proposition, then we end up in one of several unhealthy extremes. On the one hand, we may end up looking upon ourselves as unworthy of being in his service. We look at ourselves as so unworthy that we are hindered in doing the work he actually calls us to do. Now, certainly we want to be humble, but sometimes we go past humility and we think of ourselves as completely unworthy. We got to get away from that. Humble, yes. Unworthy, be careful. We may feel that we have come to believe on him too late in life, or that we have spent too many years in sin to do anything of significance for the kingdom. Friend, if you're saved, if you're a genuine believer, got the Holy Spirit in you, he's given you a gift or gifts, it's time to get on the team, get in the game. Amen? Secondly, if we forget the great grace proposition, which we often do, secondly, we may fear that we are too unskilled or untalented to do anything that would really count much for him in the church. Well, friend, this parable lets us know that because he operates on the principle of grace rather than on human merit, we can give ourselves faithfully to his service in whatever area he has called us. If he's called us to do it, know that you've probably got a gift in line with that call, and know that as you are faithful to surrender to the call, he will thus then equip you even more to do what he's called you. Amen. Knowing that we work for a master who does not measure, he does not measure the value of his laborers as the world does, friend. He doesn't measure us the way the world does. In other words, he's overwhelmingly gracious to those who serve him. Now, as often happens, if we forget the great grace proposition, you know, sometimes we think we're too unworthy, and then sometimes we think we're not skilled or talented enough. And there's another extreme. Sometimes we may end up looking so highly upon ourselves. We forget the great grace proposition. I'll get it right in a minute. Right? We start to end up thinking too highly upon ourselves that we look upon others as unworthy. Wow. We may begin to feel that we will deserve a higher place of honor in his kingdom, because we have walked with Him longer, or because we repented of our sins sooner, or because we have labored more diligently, or that our efforts were more valuable in human terms than others. See, you gotta keep grace in the forefront. You gotta keep grace in your mind. You gotta keep grace on your heart, right? In this parable reminds us that because our Lord operates on the principle of, you say it, grace, rather than human merit, that we need to do our work for Him in the kingdom with a humble attitude. Now, unlike the culture we live in, our master evaluates his servants in a far different way than people of this world does. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, however you want to spell it out in your heart and mind, He loves to shower His grace on those among His followers who are the most unworthy in the world's eyes. Over and over again, He showers those people, whether it be in the first century, whether it be in 2022, He showers them with the most of His grace. And ultimately, that is how this parable helps us with this grace, knowing some of the truths about the rewards for His service, for our service in Jesus' kingdom. It will help us keep a proper attitude in our labors. Now, if you're taking notes with me today, normally I give you three things. Normally I give you three things about a passage. This is a really long passage, so I'm going to be more than three things today. Right? So let's begin. If you're taking notes, I'm a little verklempt, amen? I want to tell you to turn to your neighbor and talk about a topic while I get this out, but I don't think I'd get it out even then. Amen? Number one, if you're taking notes, we are privileged to be called into the work of His kingdom. Privileged. Look at verse 1. Turn my page back. Verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Right? We are privileged to be called into the work of His kingdom. Right? See that kingdom in the passage? Let me set the context for you. In those days, a normal day was reckoned from sunrise to sunset. And so when you see in the passage in verse 1, when you see that, you see verse 1? You got your Bible open? You see verse 1? It says, early in the morning in my translation. Early in the morning. That would refer to sometime before 6 a.m. Now we're talking early. You say, well, why so early, Pastor? What's the deal being so early? Well, because there was a job to do. There were grapes to be harvested. So as soon as he could, before the sunrise, the landowner, he went out to gather workers into his vineyard. Now, let me apply that context for you. The Lord Jesus has work to be done advancing His kingdom in this vineyard. Right? He really does. And the work has been started long ago, but the work carries on to this day. And if anyone should be called into that work in any capacity, know that the great honor is yours, friend, to be involved with the work. And know this, the work that you've been called to do has eternal value. The work that you've been called to do will outlast everything else in this world. And so as we kind of apply the context, have you been called to some particular work of service in the Lord Jesus' kingdom? Have you been called to teach a Sunday school class? Have you been called to provide some kind of repair or maintenance work in the house of God? Have you been called to visit someone who is sick? Have you been called to provide transportation or meals to someone? Have you been called to share your faith in some kind of particular setting wherever it may be. Has that been a call that God has put on your heart or in your life? In other words, do you see something in the work of the kingdom that needs to be done, and you know in your heart of hearts that you have a unique capacity to do it? If you know you have the capacity, if you have a sense you could do what needs to be done, that's your call. That is it. And are you feeling God's call to get to work, right? He gives us a feeling, friend, that we can do it. As we kind of apply the context of this first point, think rightly about your call. Think rightly about it. Rejoice in the call and rise up immediately and get to work, if that's what he's called you to do. Give yourself fully to that thing that the Lord has kind of put in your mind, put on your heart. Don't hold back. So many people hold back. Don't wait for something better to do. There is not anything better to do. If it's put on your mind, it is the best thing to do. If he's laid it on your heart, that is your better to do. That's what he wants you to do. Don't put it off. Don't look for some other time. Do what he's called you to do for his kingdom's sake. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 reads, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Point number two, God makes no mistakes when he calls. Say, man, I don't know if, man, God's laying that on my heart, and I see my ability to do that, but boy, I don't know, man, maybe God's getting this wrong. Not. God does not do that. He doesn't get the call wrong. Look at verses 2 through 7 with me. "When he had agreed with the laborers for denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' And so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around, said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day long?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.'" Right? Let me set the context. A denarius was the rough equivalent of an average working man's wage for the day. Right? Context point number two. The landowner needed more laborers than those he had just sent into the vineyard. So he went out to gather more workers. He went out to gather more workers. He kept going out to gather more workers. Let me apply that context for you. The unmistakable call comes at different times for different people. Why is that? I have no idea. But that's just the way it is. Sometimes the call to get busy in the kingdom comes early, before sunrise, or we could say at the beginning of our lives, verses 1 and 2. Sometimes the call from God to get busy in the kingdom comes later, about the third hour or the middle of our lives, verses 3 and 4. And then sometimes the call to get busy in God's kingdom comes at the end, the sixth and the ninth hour, or the late middle, or the end of our lives, per verses 5 through 7. Now, as we think about applying that context, pause for a moment and think about this last group of men, the 11th hour men. Think about these 11th hour men. For them to still be standing around in the marketplace near the end of the day suggests that they were in a desperate need of work. They needed to work. No one had hired them up to that point, up to the 11th hour, and it looked as if they would have to go home to their families with nothing to show for the day, nothing to bring home for food and necessities. These men, though, these men had not lost all hope, and they were ready for the call even at the end of the day. Sometimes we retire from work, and we kind of throw it in neutral. And, you know, we kind of bebop around the church and around religious circles. And we think, well, you know, I mean, you know, all this work to be done in the church is for them young folk, you know. And you need to ask yourself the question. When you were a young folk and you were trying to raise your kids and you were trying to pay your mortgage and you were trying to keep your cars running, did you have a whole lot of time to work at the church? Probably not. But now that you've kind of retired, now that you kind of have time on your hands, kind of something going on here, right? Kind of maybe God pointing you in the right direction, right? Maybe now is the time for you to be able to what? To serve God in His kingdom, right? It's amazing how that works, isn't it? Amazing. Yes? Amen. Kind of amazing. 11-hour folks, right? Our Lord sovereignly called whomever He chooses to work in His field. He not only chooses whoever He wishes, but whenever He wishes. And we should never question. We should never question His sovereign choice. Now, I will say this to you. If He has called us at the third hour, if He called us at the third hour and we put Him off until the ninth hour, that's not on Him. That's shame on us. That's not shame on God, right? But we must come to God when we're called for salvation, for service, for everything. When the call of God is on your life, you got to come. But if He's called you, even at the 11th hour of life, don't say, man, I'm so old. I've spent so much life. I've committed so much sin. Don't say that. If He's called you at the 11th hour of your life, praise Him and go. Praise Him and go, man. Whenever He called you into His service, don't question the fact that He called you. When He called you, go to the vineyard and work, knowing that He knows what He's planned for you to do. Amen? Point number three, there's a day of reward for all those who serve. This is, man, I love this part about the Bible. I love this part about the Bible. Look at verse 8. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first, right? Man, I love this about God. He rewards us. He blesses us, man. He pours it out on us. There's a day of reward for all those who serve, right? That's what's coming. There comes a time when the 12 hours of daylight are spent and the work must come to an end. And for all that are called, there was a final call to come and receive their wages. This reminds us that no matter what our particular call to service in His kingdom may be, our Lord will forget no one. And you may have a call to clean bathrooms. You go into the men's restroom or the ladies' restroom here and you think, man, I could do this. I can make this thing spit shine. I can make this thing look like you could have a picnic in here, right? Right? And guess what? Who's going to know? Who's going to know you're cleaning a John? Ain't nobody going to know that, but God's going to know. And friend, one day when you stand before Him, one day when you're at the Bema seat and your work goes through the refining fire, you may end up with more on the other side than some guy that was in the ministry for 35, 40, 50 years, right? Because you were doing it for the right reason and they were doing it for some other kind of reason. You understand what I'm saying? Man, the Lord does not forget, friend. The Lord, He will faithfully reward all those who faithfully served Him, especially His church. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says this, For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Right? Amen? For all that are called, here's the curveball. For all that are called, the order is reversed. You see that in verse 8? Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. Well, that's the changeup. That is the screwball. That is the knuckleball that falls right at the plate, man. I mean, that is the pitch right there. The question is, why? Why? What's going on here? That brings me to point number four. Point number four is God's method of accounting. God's method of accounting will display his grace. Look at verses 9 and 10. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. Notice the act of goodness by the landowner. This is Jesus, by the way, the landowner, Jesus Christ. Knowing that they had not been able to work a whole day because no one had hired them, the landowner, Jesus, nevertheless gave them what they did not deserve. What's that word? Grace. Amen? He gave them the means to provide for their families. He did not reward them on the basis of human merit, but rather on the basis of, you say that word again? Grace, that's right. The order of payout was so his grace to them would be displayed to those who followed after them. See, he elevated those who were last to the place of being first in order to display his grace to those who were first through his kindness to the last. The hired first, paid last, thought they would be paid more than originally agreed upon. Brother Ronnie, that's not how a contract works, is it? No, man, they agreed for a denarius. A denarius is what they got. The point of this parable, this is the beauty of this passage, right here. If you don't get anything else, get this. The point of this parable is not about getting what is deserved. Oh, man. That's not the point of this parable. It's not about getting what is deserved, but getting what is not deserved, and that's grace. That is grace. I believe this is I've got a couple of angles here going, and, you know, you can turn your notes off at this point, but I got a couple of angles going here. I truly believe, as I studied this last week and thought about the other Gospels and how they kind of intertwine with this passage here, for me, I believe this is a foreshadowing to the thief on the cross. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, thief on the cross, you remember him? Amen? There was no time for this criminal, he was a criminal, no time for this sinner to do any good deeds in order to make himself worthy. He did not have any time to reform his life. All that he had time to do was to call out to Jesus and say this, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's all he had time to do. He was literally called at the end of the 11th hour. And yet Jesus promised that he would be that very day with him in paradise, man. The saved thief, that saved thief, his single act of service to the kingdom, giving us an example of how to be saved, giving us an example, His testimony on the cross with Jesus has done more for the service of the kingdom than any human being could estimate. Which brings me to point number five. Point number four, God's method of accounting will display his grace. Point number five, when we grumble at His goodness. When we grumble at His goodness towards others. When we as a Christian grumble at Jesus' goodness towards other Christians, we have missed the point of grace. We've completely missed it. Verse 11, when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous?" Wow. These first workers were grumbling as if they had been treated unjustly. But there was no injustice on the part of the landowner whatsoever. They had agreed. They had agreed from the very start to work for a denarius, and that is exactly what they received. Now, you go back and look through the passage. The other workers called the third, the sixth, the ninth, the 11th hour. The other workers did not agree to work for a denarius. It doesn't say anything there, right? When you look at verse 14, "Take what is yours and go, but I wish to give to this last man the same as to you." Verse 14 kind of sums up the parable for us. Jesus, the landowner, did not measure laborers on the basis of human standards of merit, but rather on the basis of His grace. That's how He does it. See, it was right, it was His right to do this. It was His right to give to the last man what the first man was to get. It was His right to do this since it was His money to do as He wished. And they, the first people that He hired, were wrong to think wrongly about Him because the landowner is a good landowner. He's a gracious landowner. Now, I told you I had two angles on this passage. The first one is, I believe this is a foreshadowing to the thief on the cross. The second angle is this. If you think deeply about this passage and about who this passage is written to, there's some theological implication here. What do you mean by that? Well, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, or the 11th hour folks, you know who those folks may be? They may be me and you. We're not Jews. We're Gentiles, right? Matthew is written to the Jewish folks. Perhaps these third, sixth, ninth, and 11th hour folks, perhaps they are us as Gentiles, right? Maybe he's softening them up, the Jewish folks, to receive the Gentiles into the fold. Because, friend, whether you're Jew or Greek, Jew or Gentile, we all enter the kingdom on the same basis. It's called grace. Amen? Now, let me try to apply this for you. We kind of close it out where we all began here this morning. Not only had the last become first because of God's grace, but the first became last because of their evil attitude of heart. Right? Don't be that person. Always think about God's grace. You've gotten what you didn't deserve. Grace. Amen? Now, as we close this out, may we be both warned, and encouraged by this parable. Number one, may we be warned never to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, right? Number two, may we remember that if we are in His service at all, if we're in His service at all, it is a great privilege, and that we should praise His grace. We should praise Him for His grace, amen? And number three, may we be encouraged never to think of ourselves too unworthy. Humble heart, be humble. But never think of yourselves too unworthy. You've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, man. Jesus has bestowed upon you at least one spiritual gift. Many of you have many more spiritual gifts than one. If he calls us at any point in life, then he does so as he chooses, and he is able not only to use us powerfully, but he's also able to reward us graciously. Our great God, final thought, our great God is not like we are. Amen? He thinks in a higher way than we think. And he does things in a higher way than we do. So let us be careful to think rightly about our service in his kingdom. And let us be joyful about our work. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you for this meaty passage, this great parable, Lord, that reminds us of the grace of your kingdom. And Lord, if we've not experienced that grace, then Father God, I pray that we would make a way down during the invitation. And Lord, we would seek the grace of God. We would seek to have the grace of God poured out upon us today in salvation. We would turn from our own way of living and our own way of thinking, and we would try a better way, Jesus' way. We would confess down here on the altar that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and we would invite Jesus Christ into our heart to be our personal Lord and Savior. If there's someone like that here today, Lord, and they just keep kicking against it, and they've been fighting against it, Lord, I pray this would be the day that the Holy Spirit convicts them in such a way that they can't deny it any longer, that they have to break, they have to submit, they have to surrender to the command to be saved. And Lord, they be saved right here in our midst, right here, right now. Lord, if there's anyone like that here today, I pray this would be their moment, this would be their point in time where they experience the wonderful grace of God, the wonderful salvation of Jesus Christ. Lord, for the rest of us, we may have a heavy heart, a burdened heart. We may need to pour something out here at the altar, Lord. Pray for some family. Pray for some situation, Lord, whatever it may be. If you're leading us to come forward to pray, may we just have the freedom to do that. May we have the joy to come and do that, Lord. May we have the burden to do that if that's what you're leading us to do. But, Lord, whatever we do today, may it be a time of worship and praise as we stand to our feet in just a few moments and sing some more to you before we close out the service. It's in your name we pray, and God's people say it. Amen. We'll invite you all over the sanctuary to sing. Brother Jeremiah, lead us in this time of invitation.
Just as I am without one plea, but let thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as
Amen, amen. Can you hear me? I don't know how you can hear me. It's okay, there it goes. All right. It's on, but it's about to die. Amen. All right. Well, Barry's here with us today, and Miss Virginia Harris passed away, and so our hearts are heavy with Brother Barry and his brother and their family and the loss of Miss Virginia. We've had some sweet folks come through the doors of this church, and Miss Virginia was sure one of them. Amen. Amen. If you knew her or had dealings with her, she had a sweet, soft-spoken voice about her, sweet demeanor. She was a sweet, sweet lady. Amen. So she'll be missed deeply and dearly. And her service is going to be June the 10th at what time? 11:30? 12:30. Okay, 12:30. And it's going to be at the National Memorial. Yeah, thank you, brother. National Memorial. So is everybody invited to attend that, Barry?
Yes,
okay, everybody's invited to attend that. Houston National Cemetery, 10410 Veterans Memorial Drive, June 10th at 1 p.m., all right? And so you need to be there, 12:30 at the gate. And if you have a tendency of being late, this is not the day to be late. So it's kind of a military thing, and you get so much time, and if you walk up late, it may be over. So if you're going to go, be on time. Amen? That's the day to be on time. Well, let's have a closing word of prayer, and we'll lift these things up. And don't forget Bible study tonight. We'll be back in the book of Revelation as we seek to talk about the new heaven and new earth. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you right now. We lift up Barry to you, Lord. We pray for him and his brother. We pray that you just comfort them and give them the love and the support they need right now to make it through what they're going through. And Lord, we're thankful for Miss Virginia and her life and her salvation and just the wonderful joy that you poured through that woman for so many years. You gave her such a long, fruitful life. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, we know her rewards will be great one day when she stands at the Bema seat of Christ. So Lord, we praise you and thank you for Miss Virginia. But Lord, now we pray for Barry and his brother that you comfort them. You be with their family as they travel in. From all different parts. And Lord, just give them safety as they get here. And Lord, we pray for this service. We pray that it would be God-honoring, that it would sow seeds of salvation, that it would be centered in the Word of God. And Lord, it would pay great honor and tribute to Miss Virginia's life as a believer in you. We thank you, Lord, again for her salvation. Thank you for all that you do with us and how you use us, God, in your kingdom work. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, all right, you folks are dismissed. See you back tonight.